Go ahead and open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, if you will, verses 13 and 14. Sorry, good morning, church. Steve, can you turn me down? I'm a little hot up here. Thank you. Yes, I am. Like, literally, I'm actually sweating. whoever said that, thank you. You just made my day. So Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, we're continuing our series on the best sermon ever, and these are kind of the verses that are going to start to wind us down. Jesus is kind of near the conclusion of his sermon, and these are really important verses to understand and to know as we kind of start to move in that direction. There's two more messages after this. I think Rob and then Kim are going to preach the last two. And you're going to really want to be around for that because the end of Jesus' sermon here is really going to get us. Before we get into it, let's go ahead and pray. God, help us to see your way. Help us to realize that your opinion, your way, your path is the only path for us. We know it will be tough. We know there will be many who do not choose this way. However, challenge us to find the right path, the right direction, a direction, a way that will lead us to live a life of abundance and hope in you. We pray this in the one who said that he is the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Now, there was this engaged man who asked his father for advice for a long, happy marriage. And he said, Dad, you know, you and Mom have been happily married for 28 years now, and how do you do it? And he said, well, it's easy, son. You know, when your mom and I first got married, we made a deal. You see, she would make all of the little decisions, and I would make all of the big decisions. Well, hey, that kind of sounds like a good arrangement. And how did you decide what was a big decision and what was a little decision? And his dad said, well, there haven't been any big decisions yet. Life is full of choices, isn't it? I mean, what time do we wake up? What clothes should we wear? Shower, tub, nothing. Brush your teeth or not? I hope you do, yes. And what movie should we see? What should we eat for breakfast? Should I go to church? Who's going to take the kids to youth group tonight? I mean, these are some basic choices that we make on a weekly basis. However, there are major choices that we also make in our life. Do we have kids? Exactly, yes. Do we move, you know? Do we change careers, you know? Do we get married? I mean, these choices affect a significant direction in our lives. However, as the scripture that we're going to get into shares, there is a choice also that we are going to have to make that will affect us for all eternity. And this choice, clearly laid out by Jesus himself, encourages us to think wisely about what direction we are going to take. And it's a decision that all of our life and all of our eternity hinges on. However, it's not an easy one to make. And so here we are in the midst of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus gets towards the end of his sermon and shares some words, words that probably stunned the crowd. And I want you to hear these words from Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Now, throughout these scriptures, there's a couple of contrasts that we're going to be addressing here this morning between the wide gate that Jesus mentions and the narrow gate. And we're going to get to some of those contrasts soon, but we're going to do a little word study because understanding the words of the scripture and kind of the intent really helps us grasp this deeper meaning of the scripture. And so I'm going to do some Greek here, and I'm serious. I know I do this every once in a while, but I'll just say I'm a little nervous this morning, and I'm not going to point them out because there are a couple of major Greek scholars in the room who like know their Greek back and forth. So I'm a little bit nervous this morning, so just bear with me. And if this is heavy stuff for you, I encourage you just to hang in with us just for a little bit here. And we're going to start right at the beginning of the scripture, and I hope the screen's going to kind of help us out here. The word enter comes from the Greek aserkomai, which means, and the grammar for this word has a literal meaning. It makes it even more precise. It's a word that gives a sense of urgency. It's an immediate call to action that Jesus has for us. It's basically saying, don't delay, enter now, with like an exclamation point on it. He's saying, enter the narrow gate before it's too late. I mean, do not put this off. Now, this word narrow, stenos, is like a straight. I mean, you want to picture obstacles that are very close together. I mean, it's less than the standard width, right? Limited in size. It's a space between two rocks, right? The word stenos comes from a root word meaning to groan or to be under pressure, right? And this gives us an idea of what this narrow gate looks like. It's very thin, very difficult to get through. It's very tight, so much so that we would have to squeeze ourselves through it, kind of like what you have to do around the dinner table at Thanksgiving when you're squeezing between a chair and the cupboard filled with grandma's like fine china, right? You're squeezing yourself through it. And so what Jesus is starting off here saying is, he starts here saying, you need to enter the narrow gate, and he's pleading with the crowd for us to not wait to make this decision to enter through this narrow gate and specifically to follow him. If we keep with the flow of the scripture, it next uses this word platus, which means broad and having a distance larger than usual from side to side. I mean, wide is the gate and broad is the road. Another way of reading it is broad is the way. And the way, udos, refers to not only a literal road in this case, but I think clearly Jesus is looking at this figuratively and describing the course of one's conduct or behavior. I mean, that wide way is a latitude of all the things that a person can partake of. A wide way makes us do basically whatever we want. And in the final part of the verse, it says something, what happens when you enter the wide gate and the wide road, it leads, or apago means leading away from. It's used in secular writings to describe prisoners being taken under guard to prison or to their execution. And this present tense means that it indicates that we're currently being led. It's continuously going in one direction and it leads to destruction. The idea is that the wide road, you continually will do things that lead to destruction. Now, destruction, it's apaleia, and it means utter ruin or complete loss of something. Apaleia does not describe the complete loss of being, but the complete loss of well-being. Apaleia does not refer to extinction or annihilation or an end of an existence, but a total ruin as far as what one's purpose is. Think about the worst possible way that you could live out your life without dying for eternity. That's what that word destruction means. It's not a path that a few people go on, Jesus goes on to say, but that many will travel on that road. As we move in the next verse, we see this word narrow again. And remember, that's something tight, and you get this feeling of being crushed and crowded upon and squeezed. But this word also means something in this case when attributed to a road or a way. While the first time narrow is used, it uses the word, the Greek word stenos. And here it uses a different word. It's thlibo. And thlibo means to suffer affliction or to be troubled, with this reference of the sufferings due to the pressure of your circumstances. And then we finally get to this outcome of what that narrow gate, that narrow road says, and it leads to life, or where is Zoe? Anybody know what Zoe is? You've heard of that before. So in this context, this word Zoe describes an absolute fullness of life, which belongs to God and is made available to him by those who enter the small gate and go the narrow way. It's a life that is capable of enjoying the things of God down here, and a life that will lead us to all eternity. And I mean, this life that will only be found by a few. Again, a reference to Numbers. Just a few people are going to find that. Now, according to Jesus, most people will not choose Jesus, will not choose everlasting life, in spite of the fact that he offers salvation as a free gift to all. Jesus clearly did not believe in the doctrine of universalism that's growing in popularity, but the belief that everyone will need to come through him. Clearly, God's opinion to us and our choice to follow the crowd or to go through the narrow way is something that Jesus is addressing right now. So if we were to rethink this verse, here's what it might sound like. Right now, enter through that cramped gate. For broad is the gate, and spacious is the way leading to destruction, and many are the ones who are entering it. But the cramped gate and the way that is constricted leads into a life, and few are ones finding it. So there's your Greek word study for today. If you were totally ignoring me for the last 5 minutes, come on back. I'm welcoming you. So here we stand. We're at this crossroads, and we're a place in which we need to make a decision. And I want you to keep these definitions, or at least the imagery of what I shared, in your mind as we look at three different comparisons that I see the scriptures talking today. The first comparison that we need to make is what the entrance of the gates look like, right? Remember, there are two entrances, and we kind of know what they look like. One was wider. It's wider than a normal entranceway. And the wide gate one is the one where we have lots of choices, and we have to stand at this crossroads. And notice that Jesus gives us a choice on which gate we're going to enter. Wide is the gate, he says, and easy to enter, and many people can go through it. Not just many people can go through it, many people at the same time can go through it. Now, when we go somewhere, we're naturally going to choose the wider passage, aren't we, versus the narrower one. The gate is wide because more people are going to choose to enter through that gate. I mean, it's nice to think about a wide gate, because nice and wide gates, you're not kind of crowding up against people. That you really can do anything you want to. The journey's a lot easier when you go through this wide gate. And I'll be honest, I mean, we're looking at the fastest way of getting somewhere, aren't we? Constantly, we're wanting to get places faster. We look for the fast line. We look for the wider roads. When things get narrow or bogged down, I get frustrated. I'm sure some of you in this room do too. I mean, it gets tough. You know, it's going to take us longer. And so going to that wide route, I mean, it's easy for us, right? I mean, have you ever had to take off your door and hinges in order to get a sofa inside of the house, or your refrigerator inside of your house because the door wasn't quite wide enough? I mean, wide doors and wide gates, they're inviting, and we can bring as much as we want through it when we walk through it. I mean, we can bring all of our baggage and all of our issues and everything inside of it. We can just bring it all with us. But not just us, but so many others who walk with us. That's what the wide gate allows us to do. But on the other side, we have this narrow gate. And unlike the wide gate, where everything and everyone can go through it, the narrow gate doesn't have any room for anything to get through except for you. So you need to leave your baggage behind. You need to leave everything behind. There's no room for chasing after the pleasures of the world. There's no room for sinfulness. There's no room for self-righteousness. The narrow gate is not easy for us to walk through. Remember, you're kind of having to squeeze through that gate. I mean, the narrow gate is not an easy thing to go through. I mean, all of the things that Jesus has told us up to this point in his sermon is helping us understand how we can, in fact, walk through the narrow gate. And Luke 13, 24 says this: "Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able." I mean, Jesus tells us that we must strive and put great effort to go through that narrow gate. The gate is narrow because not many people choose to go that direction. If you're going to enter into the narrow gate, Jesus has got to be first in your life. Friends, when we go through the narrow gate, we need to rely upon his magnificent power through the cross. When we seek Jesus, we need to cast off our old selves and become new creations in Christ. Yes, it's going to be tough to give up our old life. There's a story about a country church who was having an annual revival meeting. And the first night, the preacher got up and he was preaching about repentance and our need to turn to the Lord. Excuse me. And at the altar call, a man came down the aisle and he goes, "Fill me, Lord, fill me." And the next night, the preacher challenged the congregation with this need to totally surrender their lives to Christ. And again, an altar call was extended. And the night before, just like that, a guy comes down the aisle and he's yelling, "Fill me, Lord, fill me." And again, the third night, the pastor urged the congregation to drive away sin, and it was an invitation to give one's life to Christ. And again, that same man came walking down the aisle, and he was like, "Fill me, Lord, fill me." And to which somebody in the back of the room says, "Don't do it, Lord, he leaks." I guess the truth of the matter is we all leak from time to time, don't we? We all lose our way from time to time. However, when we enter into that narrow gate, that tiny narrow gate, we enter into a whole new life in Christ. One which when we leak, when we ask for forgiveness, God is faithful to forgive because what Christ has done and how he himself entered that narrow gate. As we move through the scripture, we encounter this second comparison. The second comparison is the path or the way in which we go through the gate. The wide path is the one most traveled. It's an easy path. And as I said before, you don't have to do anything to walk on the path. Apathy puts you on that path. The path is wide because there are many ways that lead to destruction, as we learned earlier. Not just physical destruction or it's a complete, utter loss or ruin. I mean, and so this wide road accepts everything and anything. And the road that will ruin us, it will ruin who we are, and it'll ruin whose we are. I mean, this path, this direction, this way is filled with a life away from God, away from the redemption found in Christ. It's a life filled with abuse and pride and materialism and gossip and immorality and hate and violence. That's what that wide road looks like. In Proverbs 14:12, it says, "There's a way which seems right to man, but in its end is a way of death." I mean, the well-traveled path has no rules. It has no restraints. It's a path that everyone is doing right in their own eyes. It's a place where the majority rules and the mob wins. The late James Reed, a senator of Missouri in the 1900s, one of the most forceful speeches ever delivered before the Senate, gave this great truth. Listen to this, I quote, "The majority crucified Jesus Christ. The majority burned Christians at the stake. The majority established slavery. The majority jeered when Columbus said the world was round. The majority threw him in a dungeon for having discovered the new world. Christ always calls us to follow the lifestyle of the minority opinion." The wide path is the path that most people will go on. It is the path that most people will encourage you to walk down. As you stand at the gates and you're looking at these gates and looking at these paths, are you going to be swayed by what everyone else is doing? The majority of people will follow the wide path and will make fun of you and pick on you when you go down the narrow path. The majority, friends, is not always right. If Jesus himself says that the wide path leads to destruction, a complete loss of everything that we are, then why are so many willing to walk down that path? The majority of people who take this path take it because they don't want to give up anything. They want to be in control of everything. They're not willing to surrender, and they're not willing to obey. They're not willing to do the tough work of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. It's difficult to walk down this narrow path Jesus is talking about because it takes discipline and it takes desire. It takes obedience and it takes integrity. Jesus has been telling us what is required of us as disciples all throughout his message. Walking on the narrow path, the narrow way, requires us to allow Jesus to transform our lives, which will in turn cause us to live a life worthy of the calling that he has for us. But friends, should I share that this is not an easy path to follow? Many will struggle. Many of us, including myself, will fall off the path. We will stumble and we will fall and we will fail. Many people who are believers in Christ often wonder why living for Jesus is so difficult. We wonder about this because we have this belief that as soon as we accept Jesus, that everything should become easy. However, that's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying this is the narrow path. Remember that second word for narrow, the thlibo. Thlibo means to suffer affliction, to be trouble, to suffer due to the pressure and circumstances that you're in. Walking the narrow path will bring its own afflictions, its own struggles, because we are braving a trail that not many other people are willing to brave. And I don't know about you, but life is hard. Even living a life of abundance in Christ, it is difficult. Things of this world are going to try and get us off our paths, losing a job, struggling with relationships, physical illnesses, other things dare to pull us off this path so that we will seek the wider way, the easy way, the way that is not found in Christ. Friends, we will get pricked by thorns, trip on roots. We will need to work extra hard to keep on this path of discipleship. It's because it's a tiny, narrow path, but it's the path that leads to where Christ is calling us to go. Many people will not choose this path because it's not an easy one. There's only one way to God. There's only one path to God. There's only one truth to God, the way and the path and the truth. In John 14:6, Jesus is clear. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Jesus knows what will happen to those who do not travel the narrow way, the way that is set for us to go, the way that he sacrificed for us to go. The final comparison today is this, the difference between the destinations at the end of the wide path and the narrow path. The wide path, it ends in destruction. And many people don't think this will happen. In Philippians 3, it says this, for many walk whom I've often told you and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind to earthly things. To live a life of destruction is to live a life without God. To not be in the presence of the Creator is to be living a life of void and ruin and complete loss. To live a life of destruction is to live a life saying that you know all the answers, that you have all the things that you need to make it, and that you can do it yourself. And when we turn to live this kind of life, it means abandoning the peace and the grace of God found through Christ. It means rejecting Jesus and his sacrifice. It means purposely deciding to walk away from this free gift that God is trying to offer each of us. But thank goodness, however, on the other end of this narrow path, it is so different there. The end of the narrow path leads to life. And not just any life, it leads to abundant life. Hebrews 10 shares this, for you have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Jesus tells us that the narrow road leads to life. And thank God that when we come to the cross of Christ and repentance and faith, trusting in his atonement for our sins, we are forever, ever changed. John Newton, once the captain of a slave ship, and after his conversion, the author of Amazing Grace, once said this, I am not yet what I ought to be, and I am not what I want to be. I am not what I hope to be in another world, but I am not what I used to be. And I am, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Because, friends, Jesus pleads on God's behalf for us to enter the narrow gate. It means that you and I are going to have to shed off all of our baggage. It means that you and I are going to have to let go of our past life. It means that we are going to have to leave our life behind and squeeze ourselves through the narrow gate that not many people are going to enter. It means that you have to squeeze through that gate and you need to keep looking for the straight and narrow path to follow. It's a path of righteousness. It's a difficult path to stay on because we are going to be trailblazers on that path because not many people walk it. And friends, when you go through that narrow gate and you follow that narrow path, you reap the promises of God in eternity, the grace and the peace and the life that God desires for us to have. And so we stand at a crossroads, each of us. Every single day when we wake up, we stand at a crossroad. Do we walk on the wide path and do whatever we want to do, or do we go on the narrow path and follow what Christ is calling us to do? We get to choose that. We are the ones who choose it. And it's a choice that each of us have to make every single day. May we choose the path of Jesus. Our whole selves choose the path of the one who redeems us to God, the one who gives us all, our Lord and our Savior, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Prince of Peace, our Redeemer, our Savior, and our friend. Let's pray together. Gracious and wonderful God, we desire to surrender to you. And God, may we just have this picture always in our mind of these gates and these roads as we walk our life. God, it is so difficult to be a disciple of your son Jesus because, God, it keeps calling us to surrender more, to obey more, to give more, to just sacrifice ourselves more for you. And God, if I'm honest, there are days that walking that narrow path and going through that narrow gate, wow, that's really difficult. And so, God, this morning, as we keep this picture in our mind about what your son Jesus is calling us to be and who he's calling us to be and how he's calling us to live, and as he's kind of wrapping up his message, and as we wrap up this message today, God, may our hearts be filled with your hope that in you we can walk through the narrow gate, and in you we can walk the narrow path. And while it will be difficult, oh God, the reward is wonderful at the end, because you have promised that to us, and we know that you always fulfill your promises. God, may our hearts and minds be open and willing to hear your word and hear the Spirit move in this place. For we pray all this in your Son's name, and all God's people say. Amen.